Welcome here to Wake Up Call with Dan Tortora on wakeupcalldt.com, your one-stop sports shop, and the free Wake Up Call DT app available for all Apple products as well as through the Google Play Store with over 440 shows that you can listen to at any time. Never lose the signal and always have them with you. I'm very happy to have on the show to talk about his history as a coach and what has really meant the most to him. And I've had the blessing of talking to him for the last few years, pretty much since I found my way back to my hometown of Syracuse, New York. Dave Pasiak, the head coach of Onondaga Community College men's basketball team for the Lasers, someone who has been with the Lasers for over a decade and has tried over time to really find a good fit, a good system, and something that he can progress forward with. And I'm very happy to have spent some time with him and built a relationship with him, knowing who he is on and off the court, and I'm very happy to have him on the show to talk about it. Dave, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dan. It's always great to talk to you.
And I appreciate that, Dave. And first and foremost, going back to that moment when you decided to join OCC, if you can go back in time in your mind and in your heart to look at that, what was that moment like for you, and what ultimately made you say yes to OCC?
Well, it's kind of an interesting story, actually. At the time, I was the athletic director of Frankfort Schuyler High School, pretty much a Class C school, a little bit east of Utica, and I was also doing contract software engineering work. And the job was open at OCC. Bob McKinney was the athletic director at the time, and I had known Bob just through basketball circles and working in summer camps together when we were younger and all that kind of thing. And it kind of like lost touch with him a little bit in years leading up to it, but the job opened up at Onondaga, and I applied for it. Was fortunate enough to get offered the job, but like I said, I also had a job that I was enjoying quite a bit at the time at Franklin Schuyler as athletic director. So funny story, when I was doing computer contract work, I used to go out to Wisconsin to do some work with a partner of ours out there in Kenosha, Wisconsin. So I had a flight leaving out of Syracuse, like 11 o'clock in the morning flight. I called Bob up. I had a couple questions about the job in Onondaga and everything. All right, so I'll meet you first thing in the morning, and then I got to catch the flight, so we met. And I think we were totally in lockstep about what I thought the junior college program should be and what he thought the junior college program should be. And so I told Bob, I said, I'll take the job, and if the plane crashes on the way out of Wisconsin, you don't have to tell anybody. So that's how we started off back in the fall of 2000, actually. It was about a week before school started. The previous coach left on kind of short notice. Got an opportunity back closer to home in Pittsburgh, so it worked out well for me. And 15 years later, here we are.
When you look at the last 15 years, what have you really learned the most as a head coach over your time at OCC?
Well, I think one of the things is, every year you coach, you learn what you really don't know. I think when you're a young coach, you think you know everything and don't need to a lot of help or a lot of advice. And then the older you get, the more you realize you really don't know. I think the other thing that you learn over time is, this is just not 15 years in Onondaga, it's probably 30 years total I've been coaching, is that the world's a little different and kids are a little different. And I think you have to, with the media scene today and social media and, everybody's cell phone and all that kind of thing, kids are a lot more worldly. And I think one of the things you have to learn as a coach to survive is you have to adapt your approach with kids and change your approach a little bit without compromising your values. I think we have the same core values that we've always had in the program, but we had an alumni game a couple weeks ago, and the alumni said, you've calmed down a lot in recent years. So I think, I'm probably, for lack of a better way of putting it, nicer to the players now. But I think we've got the same core values and the same expectations and stuff that we've always had.
When you look at some of the issues, like you say, with times are, changing and in social media and all of that, how have you addressed that as a coach? Because obviously every coach has players who, you know, sometimes people forget are young, they're teenagers, they're online, they're putting pictures out or they're making statements or whatnot. How do you address with your team how to handle social media and how to make sure that they're keeping a good reputation for themselves as well as for OCC?
Well, you know, I'm coming at it from a couple different angles. One is we try to use social media as a tool within our program. You know, get information out about the program and you know, to folks like you in the media and fans, you know, potential student athletes, people in the community and whatnot. So I think, you know, it's really can be, if used correctly, a really valuable tool, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, any number, email, you know, the internet, whatnot. From the player standpoint, I would say the majority of our guys are somewhat active to very active in social media. You know, most of them use Twitter, some of them use Facebook, you know, they use Instagram and, you know, every other social media, Snapchat and all that other stuff that kids like to use. The thing we talk to them about is, think before you hit send, and nothing is private. You know, you think that you put something out there, whether it's a picture or a tweet or whatnot, that you put out in the spur of the moment or is not very flattering. I said, that's never gone. You delete it. That's still out there somewhere on a server. And those kinds of things have a way of cropping up when you can least afford them to. You know, whether it be when you're trying to get recruited for your next school or you're trying to get a job, you know, corporate America today, you know, they research people's social media accounts, Facebook accounts, and Twitter accounts, and whatnot, when as part of the hiring process. Often. So, and we just, you know, we use a rule of thumb: if you wouldn't want your mom to see it, it probably shouldn't be out there. It's kind of a general rule of thumb for that.
When you go through the time that you've been, and like you said, you know, 15 years at OCC, even more than that, double that at least. As a coach in general, what's changed the most to you over time when you look at the big scheme of things?
Well, I think it's like we just talked about. I think it's, you know, kids are different. The world is different. I'm not going to say for better or for worse in respect of, there's a lot of parental involvement. Like when I was growing up, coach in the school were the law. Now, in this day and age, you know, there's a lot more parental involvement in some cases, which is a good thing. That kids have, you know, parents that are, you know, interested and invested in what they're doing. But I think that also, you know, there are a lot more influences in kids' ears. And, you know, the world being a smaller place, just, you know, through the internet and social media, and, you know, in my sport, in basketball, you know, a lot of kids are involved heavily in, you know, travel teams, club teams, AAU, some work with personal trainers or strength and conditioning people. So, that, you know, there are a lot more influence on kids, pulling them in a lot of different directions. Versus, you know, say when I was a, you know, high school player, college player, first got into coaching when I got out of college, where, you know, what you did in basketball was pretty much centered on and exclusive to, like, the school program, and things you did outside of that, you know, kind of were done in a manner just to supplement the school experience.
When you look at the whole school experience, being at the junior college level, I know that we have talked about it before. You know, every coach is in the same boat. Everyone has 2 years maximum. But when you look at that situation as opposed to having 4 years to groom a player or even 5 years if you were to have that opportunity with a redshirt, when you look at that compared to what you have half the time to do that in, what has been the biggest challenge for you, knowing that obviously, you know, there are players all over the country that are getting time, and maybe they sit out their freshman season, sophomore, maybe they're the fourth point guard that goes out there, And then as they move on, they have 3 years left still, and you give them a little playing time here and there before they become a veteran and a groomed starter. You don't have the luxury of doing that. So how do you kind of teach express mode, so to speak?
Well, you know, when you cut it to really simple terms, you're trying to, you know, team always comes first. So, you know, we're looking at it from the standpoint of how we can best build our team, you know, fit the pieces and that to give us the best chance of success and, you know, want to have a great, you know, every kid in the program to have a great experience and, you know, kind of a philosophy that they're going to learn more in basketball than any other class they're going to take in Onondaga. Not necessarily about basketball itself, but about the world and life and, you know, how to grow as young people. So, you know, so I think first and foremost, we're trying to do that and develop an environment and culture where it's about the team. And within that is, you know, you're trying to develop the players individually to try to prepare them, you know, for the next level. And it's kind of a neat level to be at because, you know, we're on both sides of the equation. We're, you know, we're trying to recruit good people who are talented to come be part of our program, but we're also trying to, you know, in the same manner that any college program is, 2 year or 4 year, but we're also trying to develop players, prepare them to move on to their next opportunity, you know, seek out and prepare them for opportunities that are probably a little higher level or a little better than what they had coming out of high school in most cases. You know, so the player development component is really, really important too, kind of in the same manner that it would be with a high school coach. So, you know, you're trying to kind of accomplish both of those objectives at the same time.
I feel like sometimes the respect isn't there for junior colleges or junior college players. You know, some people will say that it's just like high school, or, you know, it's like high school on steroids where there's a little bit more, but they don't respect the competition, nor do they respect the process. Then you get to be around some of these games and obviously be around some of these coaches. And I can see firsthand that there is no truth to that just being a different style of high school or whatnot, so to speak. How do you handle the outside view sometimes of junior college, and what do you really feel junior college is, being a definition from someone who has lived it for so long and been around it for so long?
You know, what it is it's a great opportunity for kids to start their college experience educationally, academically, athletically, in most cases save themselves a few dollars by doing it. In most cases, mature a little bit and prepare themselves a little bit better, you know, complete their bachelor's degree. You know, in terms of from a basketball standpoint, it's really interesting how, you know, junior college is looked at differently in different parts of the country. You know, in the Northeast, I think what you say has a lot of truth to it, or at least a grain of truth to it, that maybe our level in junior college basketball doesn't get as much respect as it could and should. You know, I think that is tied somewhat to, you know, the New York State and the Northeast tend to be heavily NCAA Division III centric area. You know, if you go to certain other parts of the country, I mean, we're going to play in Florida, play some, against some Division I junior college teams. You know, guys are leaving Division II, Division I assistant, Division III head guys are leaving those jobs to be junior college head coaches in other parts of the country. Because I think the level of play, just because of the dynamic of college sports in those areas, it gets respected a little bit more. But, you know, from our standpoint, I mean, you can't really worry about that. I'm really, you know, what perception is and everything. I think if people watch us play, or watch teams at our level play, you know, the best teams at our level all have one or two or three or sometimes more scholarship caliber players. You know, so I mean, we've got kids that go on and play, you know, Division I, Division II, NAIA scholarship basketball, and a multitude of kids that go on and play at various Division III schools. You know, a good portion of the time, most of the time, they have more success at the D3 school because maybe the level of athleticism at the Division III level, NCAA, is what it is that. You know, trying to develop them as much as possible and create as many opportunities. And that means when they leave us, they go on to a Division III school where, you know, maybe in the meantime they've matured a little bit and they've saved some money. Great. They go on to Division II or NAIA or Division I school where, you know, basketball is going to help pay for their education. Well, maybe they didn't have that opportunity coming out of high school. That's great too. So, what we look at is more about how are we helping young people grow as people and create opportunities for themselves.
When you look at those opportunities and the things that you try to create with you as a leader, Dave, how do you feel you've done as a head coach throughout your time? When you look back on all the years leading up to now and where you stand today, how do you assess yourself as a leader, and what have you really felt like you've done to help the community through the student athletes that you've had come through your door?
Well, you probably should ask somebody other than me to assess me, I guess, probably. But, as far as what we've done and what we've tried to do, I think when I came in here in 2000, we were very purposeful about we wanted Onondaga to be a great avenue and a great option for kids, from Onondaga County, Section 3, surrounding counties, for, kids in our fundamental service area of the college. We wanted to be a great option for those kids to, go to school, get off to a great start in college, have a great basketball experience, and open up some opportunities. So, we have been really purposeful about the overwhelming majority of our recruiting has been, kids, I would say, within, an hour and a half, 2 hours of campus. I think we've been pretty successful in, building a program that is a viable option for kids in our service area. The core community colleges are supposed to service the community, and I think, our program is, should be and is a reflection of that. And, we're proud of that. And I think, at the same time, we've been able to compete. I don't want to jinx ourselves because, we still have a lot of season left, but, our first 14 years, we qualified for postseason play of some shape or form every year in our 14 years here. So I don't know how many college programs at any level in New York State are saying that. So we're proud of that, and proud of that level of consistency. And I think at the same time, we've put a team on the floor that by and large has represented our institution and represented themselves in our program in a really first-class manner. We've had good kids and good teams, and for the most part, the attention we brought to the program and the school has been positive, and so we're really proud of that too.
Lastly, for you, Dave, when you look at your future and where you're at right now and where you plan on going, like you said, going back to 2000, coming in OCC, what is your future in your mind? What does that hold for you? Do you want to stay around, keep grooming this team, keep building this program? Do you envision yourself continuing to coach for the long haul? I mean, how do you really look at things? And I know that when you're in the heart of a season that you're focused on different things, but in the back of your mind somewhere, when you do sit down and think about your future, what's going through your mind as far as being a head coach and continuing to build young minds?
Well, I think there's, there's like the five S's of coaching, of your coaching career. I think people move along that scale. The first one being survival, where it's just like they want to get in the door and coaching in the profession, and I'll do whatever, pick whatever job and do whatever I can. The second S is success, where it's like mostly about the coach themselves and the individual and trying to move up at, levels and all that kind of thing. The third S is significant, where, you kind of figure out that it's about more than winning and losing and making a difference. that's a sprint. That's when you kind of burn, you're kind of burnt out. And you know, I think anybody that's coached for a long period of time kind of moves along that curve a little bit. And so, kind of an answer to your question, you know, I enjoy what I'm doing very much, and I'm a doctor. And I work with some great people, and have over the years. I've had, you know, Bob McKinney to, you know, Stephanie Reynolds was our AVP that I reported to when I was the interim AD. Rob Edson was a, you know, tremendous athletic director and a tremendous person. David Murphy, our senior VP. Rebecca Hamm, who's oversaw athletics in Rob's passing. And Mike Borch, who's our current athletic director, was a very, you know, very bright and very talented young athletic director. You know, so we've been, I've been fortunate to work with really great people, and at the same time, the institution has, you know, really increased their commitment to athletics and the student athletes from 2000 and now. You just take a look at the, you know, the work that's been done in the facilities, you know, the expansion of the athletic programs and everything, and, you know, certainly Mr. Murphy has spearheaded that along with, you know, our two presidents, Debbie Seidel, who was here during much of the expansion, and now Casey Crable has come in here and is also very, very student-centered and about, you know, the student experience and everything. So, you know, we've had good people, and I've been very comfortable and very happy with, you know, the people I'm working with. As long as that's the case, I really, you know, if they don't get sick of me, I don't really plan on going anywhere anytime soon. You know, if I get to the day where I hit that spent on the five S's, I hope somebody's smart enough to point that out to me, because that's when it's time to do something else, or they can put me up the pasture or something. So, I'm a little bit long-winded with that answer, but, you know, I consider myself fortunate to, you know, to work at Onondaga,